This is a story about losing my innocence at age 8. I don't know what show you think you're at. I was 8. Okay, so the house I grew up in was very formally and expertly decorated in a sort of colonial fantasy. We couldn't go in the living room and dining room unless it was a special occasion. The living room contained an antique Chippendale card table with It had Chippendale chairs and little divots with mother of pearl playing pieces and a reproduction ceramic pipe and reproduction playing cards laid out in hands of I don't know what game. And 4 Chippendale chairs, one turned out just so, as if Ben Franklin had just gotten up from a hand of euchre to go to the bathroom. And of course, I only saw this like once a year because I wasn't allowed in the room. And the formality extended to Christmas decorations. So Christmas time was like colonial Williamsburg exploded all over the house. So the dining room table had an arrangement of 3-foot tall nutcrackers and magnolia leaves and willow branches. And I was 8. I don't know what it was. And there were magnolia leaves everywhere on every mantle, and everything had a red bow on it. The front door had a 4-foot diameter boxwood wreath that contained multiple whole pineapples. And multiple real working brass instruments, a trumpet, a bugle, a French horn. No one in the house played any of these instruments. And my mom was not a crafty person. She would take all this stuff to the florist every year in boxes and boxes and say, you know what to do this year? It's the same old wreath on the front door. So the formality extended all throughout the house, and my room was decorated by an interior decorator. And I was not allowed to put my own childhood mementos and trophies and anything on the walls or anything where I could see them. I was allowed the inside of my closet. So my horse show ribbons, my stereo, which was a turntable and an 8-track player, and my Sean Cassidy poster on the inside of the closet door. So whenever I wanted to be myself, essentially, I would open up my closet door and lie on a pile of shoes and listen to my Billy Joel 52nd Street 8-track and look up at Sean Cassidy and imagine I was somewhere else. So the third floor of our house was the playroom. The playroom was decorated much the same as the rest of the house, but much less formal, I'm told. There was a 19th century cobbler's bench for a table. And there were Noah's Ark folk art sets strewn very casually around the floor. And antique Raggedy Ann dolls in antique toddler-sized rocking chairs staring at me from every corner. And in addition to all the toys in the playroom, there were family mementos hanging on the wall, like our framed Confederate States of America gun. I'm from the South, if I didn't say that already. I'm from Richmond. And when you're a boy growing up in the South, you often get guns for your birthday, not the CSA one. That was an antique. But so there was a locked closet in the playroom, and that contained all of our guns. Not my guns. You know, when my brother was 12, he got a BB gun. He was 13, he got a pellet gun. When he was 14, he got a shotgun, because sometimes you like to go hunting. So there was a locked closet in the playroom, and that's where the guns were, the non-Confederate guns. So this story takes place when I'm 8. I still believed in Santa. And it was really important to me that I keep the magic of Christmas and I still believe in Santa, even though for as long as a year previous, my brother had been trying to convince me there's no Santa Claus. But I knew that he was wrong because the previous Christmas I was lying in bed looking out the window, like vibrating with excitement because it's Christmas. Oh my God, Santa's coming. And I saw a plane coming in for a landing at the Richmond Airport, and it had red and green lights. So I took my kid logic to him and said, ha, red and green lights. And then I embellished my kid logic with, and I saw his face and Rudolph's nose. So what do you think of that? So that was the Christmas I was 7. So the Christmas I was 8, I'm lying in bed. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm so excited. I eventually do fall asleep, and I wake up sometime later because there are construction noises in the house. And I forgot to tell you something. One thing about the formality of life was that all of our Christmas presents were wrapped, even our kids' Christmas presents were wrapped in very mature, like, foil poinsettia wrapping paper with plastic sprigs of holly tucked in the professionally done bows with the wire and the notches cut out on the end, except for the Santa presents. They were always wrapped in kid-appropriate paper. So I'm lying in bed. I wake up late in the night on Christmas Eve, and I hear construction noises, cracking wood and hammering and drilling and just smacking the wall, I think, and I hear people arguing. And I go upstairs because these noises are coming from the playroom, and I see my father in his pajamas kneeling on the floor and my mother in her bathrobe standing over him, hectoring him. He has a screwdriver and a hammer, and he's trying to take the door off the hinges of the locked closet. And that's not working. So he goes at that for a while, and they don't see me. I'm standing there just wondering, why do you need the guns on Christmas Eve? And so the next step is the crowbar, and he takes the, like, it is serious. They cannot get the door out of the, I don't know why. They take the crowbar, and they pull the door frame out of the wall, and then I see why. Because the closet is full of presents, and the kids' Santa wrapping paper is in the closet. The candy canes, the reindeer, the snowmen. So I'm still thinking, well, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's still a Santa. And somehow I go back to sleep, and we wake up in the morning, and it's the usual Christmas routine. My father does his very dorky, wait at the top of the stairs while I go see if Santa's still down there. And, you know, he's turning on the Christmas tree lights and the coffee maker, and he comes back upstairs and tells us it's safe to go down there. And I walk past the plates that are already plated with a horrible German coffee cake called Stollen, which is soaked in rum for months and has dried fruit and nuts, and it's covered in wet powdered sugar from the rum, and I know I'm never going to eat that. And there's little holly sprigs tucked in the cloth napkins, and walking past bows on everything, and I get over to the area where the presents are in front of the tree, and I see all the wrapping paper I'd seen in the closet the night before. So I know there is no Santa, but they're so angry at each other for having lost the key to the closet that there is this horrible, unspoken tension between them and pervading the entire room, and it becomes instantly clear. I can't say anything. I have to pretend I still believe in Santa. So my mom does her fake, earnest, let's see what Santa brought you. Here, have this LP. So there were things called records. And I get handed a record in the candy cane wrapping paper, and I'm thinking the whole time, I have to pretend for their sake I still believe in Santa. Apparently we're not talking about this. And I'm ripping it off, strip by strip, thinking, well, at least I'm getting presents out of this. And I open the record, and it's the soundtrack to the Robert Altman movie MASH. And I'm 8. And there's no music on this except for one song, Suicide is Painless. The soundtrack has that song and the dialogue to the entire R-rated movie. So I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if this is for me, but apparently it's for me. They're all excited. Santa brought me MASH. So in the space of 24 hours, I'd gone from being the child who still needs to believe in Santa Claus to being the adult who has to pretend for my parents' sake that I still believe in Santa Claus. And even years later, when I would be home from college, my father would do that dorky, I need to go see if Santa's still here. And my mom would say, this is from Santa. And I understood that all parents and kids, once a kid stopped believing, they have that understanding. But we never talked about it. We still have never talked about it. And for all I know, they think I still believe. So on that Christmas morning when I was 8 years old, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to live like a real life in this fantasy house pretending all these things? So I took my MASH record up to my closet, and I laid on a pile of shoes, and I looked up at Sean Cassidy, and I started memorizing the dialogue to MASH. Thank you.